So, would you like to say when you came here, John, because it was your home, Janet?
Yeah, with Dad.
I've always
lived here.
Yeah. And he'd always kept
Ayrshires,
pedigree Ayrshires and done a lot of showing, hadn't he?
Yeah.
So when you came, John, what happened then?
I came in October 1980, and I can remember it being quite a wet year. I came from the White Peak, which is limestone land, and I just wondered what I'd come to, because I noticed the cows that night, the next morning after we'd come, they were rather dirty. Well, I'd never experienced that in the White Peak. The ground's always dry there. So yes, I made the most of what I came to. I took it on the chin. I decided that it was best to make good with what we've got. So I threw all my effort into making it what we've made it today. That is, when I first came, we went from parlour system, milking 110 cows, to a tied up system with a pipeline milking 60 cows. Of course, quotas did impede us a bit because we weren't able to expand. I kind of ignored all that and got away without any super levy and managed to build my herd up to 80. Then we just progressed from there onwards, and we managed 20 years in cowsheds, milking, as I say, 80 cows, making 80 acres of hay every year to feed them. And I don't know how on earth we ever did that, because the weather now, I don't think I could make 80 acres of hay with the weather at present.
Even with modern tackle?
Even with modern tackle.
Did you take to the Ayrshire cattle?
No. No, I went to Holstein's. I came with Holstein Friesians, and then I bred those with Holstein Friesians again, and got a reasonable herd. We were averaging 10,000 litres. And
so you were sort of, even though you're feeding hay, you were reasonably intensive to get those yields?
No, I must say, Sheila, no. We actually averaged about 7,000 litres when we were on hay systems, yes. But with better breeding, and then we changed into a cubicle system in 1992. And then the yields did actually go up. Then, of course, better mechanisation and better grasses, which were obtained by ploughing the fields. We became a bit more intensive with more modern systems. And then when I look back on it, I do honestly think it's the way forward, yes, for modern younger people. But we got rid of a lot of wildlife, got rid of a lot of, shall I say, hay meadows, which I now look on as essentials in the farming mosaics around the Dark Peak. I can remember mowing the hay fields in 1985 and seeing partridges flying out of them, and seeing great big swaths of meadow vetching, tufted vetch and field vetch. And once we ploughed the ground, all those went. We used to have the cuckoo in proliferation around our area, and that also went. So I do think probably we've been our own worst enemy, but we cannot stand still, so we have to go forward. Those are the sorts of things that you have to put up with. From there onwards, we became a little bit more building orientated, and we put a silage barn up and went on to 3 cuts of silage per year. We ploughed numerous fields and became more of a modern farm.
When you were in the Shippens, were there any advantages, or were you really happy to move forward onto loose housing?
One thing I've noticed about the Shippens, the cows obviously never went out. And that really was, it was not a very good plus for the cows' health, because although they looked well and they performed reasonably well, they were always like short of exercise. And then the biggest problem for cows, especially my cows, because the cows that the shippers that we'd got were meant for Ayrshire, so we moved into Holstein Friesian, and they were like 100 kilos, lots of trapped deeds, consequently lots of mastitis, consequently lots of cows that were a little bit bad tempered, and it was a bit that in my opinion stood out more than anything. Cows being not ruined, but cows being like sort of compromised with udder problems and teat problems.
And so did that improve a lot when you changed to loose housing and pot?
Oh yes, I don't think we ever had any trapped teats. Very occasionally a trapped teat, but although we like look on old fashioned systems with pride and with shall I say fond memories, I don't think they were as good for the cow as the systems now.
Did you have much help?
Yes, we had a full time worker.
So that's more labour intensive, obviously feeding the cows in the shed.
Well, yes, we've still got somebody who works for us now with the modern system, but we've got twice as many cows. But yes, we had one full time worker, a fellow called Sid Moss. He was a dream to work with, and I don't think we ever had a wrong word all the time we've been here. He used to work for Janet's father, of course, as well.
So he inherited him?
46 years, yes, we inherited him. He worked on this farm for 46 years, and he couldn't wish for a better person to work with. He kind of actually treated it as his own farm.
Pride in his work and everything.
Yes.
So you hadn't been milking very long before quotas came in?
No.
So did you have to buy milk quota or didn't you bother?
We applied to the tribunal for more quota. We did get some, but not a lot. Probably about 4 cows worth. And we didn't really bother about overproduction for the first few years. But eventually everybody did that. And we had to then look a little bit more towards trying to meet our quota with the quota that was available. In other words, we had to probably buy some milk.
At the time, do you find that tough then?
Yeah, we did.
But with hindsight, what do you think now?
With hindsight, I think it was probably the best thing we've ever had.
It perhaps just didn't come in fairly.
No, probably didn't. That's right.
So what was sort of the next changes in the 1980s? Obviously you were doing a lot more, shall we say, intensification.
Yes, we as I said, we in 1992 we put a shed up, a big shed, to actually go loose housing, so we could sort of concentrate on getting more milk from the cows.
You say loose housing, do you mean cubicles?
Cubicles, yeah. They weren't tie stalls, they were free stalls. And then we made silage, because we got to the stage where we just found we couldn't make hay. Somehow the weather has become a lot wetter in the summer.
Unsettled.
Yes, since 1992, when we went to this cubicle system and the silage system, it was like, not forced upon us, but it coincided with wetter weather, which we found it was impossible to make hay. So it worked out to our advantage, really.
We used to make big bales and let them out.
The 2 years before we built the shed, yes, because we just couldn't make the hay.
So you made big bale hay?
Big bale silage.
Big bale silage.
Because that sort of only came in the 80s, really, didn't it?
Yes, it was.
Big bales.
Yeah, you're right. I think when the first year we made the silage in 1989 or 1990, the big bale silage, a fellow called Des Alcott from Elkstons, it was an Australian invention, big bales, and he just managed to get this big baler, and he baled for us, and it saved our bacon, because I think we were just about to sort of reconcile our field to grazing, and it had been shut up right till the end of September, and we mowed it on the Borage sheep sale when we used to have the tent, the marquee at the top of the hills, on the top there, on Rue Hayes. And if we hadn't had Des Alcott's big baler, we would not have got that field. It was 15 acres.
The big bales, looking back, have been quite a revelation, haven't they?
Absolutely.
They've saved a lot of farmers, haven't they? Saved you know, livestock feed and everything, especially these last, you know, unsettled summers.
Yeah.
That's been a big...
Yeah, I think the unsettled summers have... Things go round and things come in cycles, and probably we've been on a bit of a cyclic weather pattern for the last 15 years, since 1995, 20 years, and it's very difficult to see when it will change again, but probably it will.
Mm.
But, I think bettors are giving you three choices, aren't you? You can either do silage, hay, do you want to take that step further?
I mean, going back to when we used to make hay, Janet's father used to help me a little bit, and well, quite a bit, and he always used to mow in advance, mow when it rained, so he could get it.
Get enough days.
And probably I wasn't quite as daring as him, but when Reg was helping me, we always used to be finished for the Royal Show, and we made 80 acres of hay, and that was the 7th, normally the first week in July, and we were finished hay making. I never, after we lost Reg, I never finished hay making for the 7th of July ever.
When did you first have four-wheel drive tractors?
We came with a two-wheel drive tractor in 1980, and we had a four-wheel drive tractor in 1992. About the same time we built the new shed.
But I mean, obviously that's made a big difference to farms.
Absolutely, yes.
What do you think, it's all for the good? Or do you think, especially in the southwest peat where soils are more delicate, people go on when they shouldn't because they can?
Yeah, well, there's that. But I think, yes, they're a revelation.
You don't make the mess.
You don't make the mess. But yes, it is a heavier tractor, and possibly surface drains are affected. But probably most of the surface drains in this area are blocked up anyway. They just need some deeper drains put in. I mean, things have come on foot since horse and cart where they hardly made any mess, haven't they?
But don't you think nowadays people go on the land when it's not fit?
They probably do.
So you've got soil compaction anyway, not just you.
That's a big issue, soil compaction, yeah. Yeah, it's big, heavy tractors for silage.
Well, all tackle's big now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything gets bigger and heavier.
Every farm operation uses heavier tattle, doesn't it? I suppose the fields really have to be drained in accordance with this heavier tattle now, so the drains will have to be deeper.
Yeah. Did you ever keep any sheep?
Never kept sheep. I'm not a lover of sheep.
No. You either are or you're not.
Yeah, my brother absolutely loves sheep.
So what happened to your farming in the 90s?
We bought some more land, expanded our herd to 100 cows, and we averaged 10,000 litres. And
you were keeping the pedigree?
Yes, we've always been pedigree. Registering all the cattle, which we've always done ever since 1980. We built up quite a reputation for having a good herd. We used to sell lots of heifers into the market and make some best prices. Not always the best price, but quite a few good prices.
Where did you sell?
In Leek Market. And latterly in New Toxeter. A foot and mouth came in. 2002... and the Holstein Society were looking for whole herds to sell to those people affected with foot and mouth, and we decided to sell our herd to a particular farmer, Mr. and Mrs. Newbold from Gisborne, near Newtown in Lancashire. They had been affected with foot and mouth, and they bought the whole herd and the young stock as well.
Why did you decide to do that?
Because I was Holstein Friesian, and I had this idea that I wanted to be pure Holstein, and it was a good way of purging all the Holstein Friesian stock, which would never be pure Holstein for many, many years to come, and then starting off with a pure imported herd. They basically were known as PIs, pure imported. So we initially made some purchases from farm sales with this pure imported in mind. We sold our previous herd, as I say, for a very good price, and then it's taken us about 13-14 years to be able to build up to our present numbers, which are 150.
Is that 150 milking cows?
Yes.
Plus young stock?
Yes, an average 10,000 litres. But I wouldn't say I've got any better herd now than I had 15 years ago. And my wife will totally agree with that.
Yeah. How long were you actually not milking for?
We always milked. But we only milked, we got down, we had like a sabbatical, we went from 110 cows down to about 10. So we built numbers up from there onwards.
Was there a point when you weren't using fertiliser?
Yeah, we didn't use any fertiliser after we sold the herd for possibly... We never used a lot of fertiliser prior to selling to the herd, but we used no fertiliser for 8 years.
And what did you see during that time?
With modern grasses, even when we use less fertiliser, they still needed feeding to get any prolific growth from them. So possibly modern grasses wouldn't survive as well without fertiliser as the old swards with the timothy and coxwood in. So yes, possibly.
Did you notice like a dip, and then as your soil, shall we say, got into balance, it improved or not?
I would say after about 5 years it managed to bounce back and be able to manage without fertiliser. But
because did you put any clover in or anything?
Yes, there's clover in all our swards. We love clover.
And it does well enough?
Yes, I think.
Even though, you know...
I think without fertiliser, clover does better. It seems to like no fertiliser, so it can get out above the grass and then flower.
It isn't just that. It doesn't actually like nitrogen much, does it? Because it makes its own.
Yes, it fixes its own nitrogen, Yeah, so I think if you could manage that fertiliser and take your stocking down in accordance, I think put a clover, if it's in your sward, would do a good job for you.
Do you think your cattle did well enough or better or worse on the forage that was grown without fertiliser as with it? Or wouldn't you say there was any difference?
Not much difference, I don't think.
And have you gone back to using fertiliser now?
Yes, we have. We've taken numbers back up to 150 milk cows now, and we're averaging about 10,000 litres, similar to the herd average before we went to Holstein, on the Holstein Friesians. So we have a lot more young stock because we use sex semen, so a lot more heifers. We have more land, so I wouldn't say we're any more intensively stocked than we were before. But we use quite a bit more fertiliser now just to prolong the grazing season as much as we can and make as much silage as possible for a rainy day.